It's time for us to sit down once again with RNIB's Chief Executive, Matt Stringer. Going to look at some of the big stories coming from the charity and lots of political stuff to get through today. Matt, thank you very much for joining us.
No, my pleasure. And there's a lot happening, isn't there, politically at the moment. So busy for us being involved in all that. But good to talk to you about it this week, Adam.
Indeed, there is a lot happening. Let's dive straight into that, Matt. Looking at the government spending on welfare. Now, this was particularly important to blind and partially sighted people because part of the focus was on universal credit and personal independence payment.
Yeah, I mean, this has been going, hasn't it, for some time. This has been brought to Parliament before. And you know, team in DWP, Liz Kendall, and the ministers going away, having reconsidering and come back with their revised proposals, to which we've responded on social media with a few perspectives. But I mean, I think the thing that is particularly worrying is that there's not a lot in there, which is a shift from where people were before, where the government was before, still pushing ahead with the fundamental cuts to PIPs and to universal credit. The only concession being allowing PIP claimants who don't qualify another 13 weeks additional time before they lose that support they're receiving to give them that time to sort of find other support. But I mean, I think, as we all know, it's unlikely they're going to be able to find the support that's going to make up for losing the PIP payment. And we know that that's probably worth about £4,500 a year to the average claimant, which, you know, clearly is a big sum to make up from any other source. And frankly, I don't think anyone's, you know, defining where those other sources are. It's a bit of a false opportunity. So, okay, great, 13-week moratorium, but doesn't actually materially mean the end state changes at the end of that 13 weeks. People will still be, we think, disadvantaged to the same level. We've done lots of work on this ourselves and with charity partners. We know various stats, but disabled people can spend about £1,000 a month extra trying to maintain a level standard of living because of the extra costs of energy, the extra cost of travel, the extra cost of technology, et cetera, medicines. So to be losing £4,500 a year, we think is going to be really hard. The thing we're encouraging people to do is to basically lobby your MP. If you go on our social media and our website, you'll find a template to use because there's a 2 or 3 weeks away from a vote on this bill yet, to get as many MPs as possible to hear from constituents, not only visually impaired, but clearly from a broader sort of pan-disability basis, and try and get a groundswell of opposition going, possibly a forlorn hope that that's going to happen with the government having such an inbuilt majority. Be a lot of rebels needed, but, you know, there's signs of life in the House of Commons that a lot of the backbench Labour MPs are quite dissatisfied about this, and clearly the opposition would be. So, yeah, anyway, look, we need to see it for what it is, which is a real challenge, I think, to the livelihoods of many visually impaired people up and down the country, and would encourage, as I say, listeners to write to their MPs and make their feelings known.
Indeed, extremely important. Please do get involved in that. We'll give you contact details a little bit later. As Matt said, that vote still to take place. And we're staying with politics, Matt, moving from welfare now on to health news.
We just had the latest NHS 10-year plan partners council meeting. Yeah, we've been involved as one of a couple of hundred partners to the NHS and the government on the work they've been doing. You know, Wes Streeting leading this clearly on the future of the NHS, the 10-year plan. And we're very imminent now, we think, from the plan being released. And again, it's one of those things that'll get released before the summer recess. So we think we're a few weeks away from that. We had people in the meeting. Wes Streeting, NHS and the government have trailed, you know, some of the fundamental principles that will be inherent in this plan, that whole sense of prevention and getting stuff done locally, that shift from analog to digital. What we think is going to be inherent in the plan are some of these principles I've mentioned, and some, you know, targets such as getting waiting times down to 18 weeks or less will be very front and center. What we don't think it will be lots of detail on individual health conditions. So we're not expecting that we'll see a lot in there on eye health per se. But we want to jump on some of the principles and the proposals that will be inherent in this plan, which chime with our ideas that we've been pushing through the eye care support pathway, you know, and through our ability to want to try and work with partners such as some of the high street opticians, et cetera, to help the general thrust of getting people to have their eye health checked earlier and locally, not to necessarily only to take stress out the NHS in the centre, but also, frankly, to improve people's health outcomes because, you know, we're getting conditions assessed earlier, making economic arguments for some of these benefits from eye health in terms of having people, you know, being treated locally, getting email addresses into opticians so you can send data more quickly, all these sort of things that we've talked to in the last couple of weeks. We just want to make sure we're really ready to jump on the plan when it comes out.
Indeed, quite a few big topics around health. Hopefully in a few weeks' time we'll be bringing you more information on accessible information standards in health and social care as well. We'll look at public transport in just a moment, Matt, but I know you wanted to touch on a visionary group that RNIB is part of, a meeting with them.
Maybe just touch on the public transport as a link into that. I mean, we were in seeing the transport, Junior Transport Minister Simon Lightwood on Tuesday, talking about the bus bill coming up. We've just done some work on sort of bus travel and getting very strong feedback from 400 plus respondents, visually impaired respondents, talking about the challenges of floating bus stops and the limitation to mobility with the lack of confidence in the bus network because of things like floating bus stops and inaccessible communications, with some very high percentages in terms of people either not going out at all. 14% wouldn't go out at all because they felt it was too dangerous to be using the bus network, through to over 50% of people who very much felt their life was limited because of the challenges of bus travel. So we were in talking to the minister about that and posing various proposals, including making sure we were involved in a consultation group on this going forwards, which we will be, and on the same day that we were in doing this, so were guide dogs. So the minister's hearing it from the sector. And I think to your question, that shows the benefits we have from working well within the Vision Partnership, which, just to remind the listeners, is, you know, a collection of 8 or 9 charities, ourselves, Guide Dogs, Blind Veterans, Thomas Pocklington Trust, the Macular Society, Glaucoma, Retina UK, and the Visionary Group, who are the umbrella organisation for about 130 smaller charities up and down the country. And so we come together 3 or 4 times a year as a group of CEOs and as a wider group to progress business. And it's a great opportunity to mobilise traction from the whole sector across things like the welfare proposals we've heard this week, the NHS 10-year plan, a lot of work we've been doing on employment last week. We talked about that again. And one of the things we've been doing within the Vision Partnership is the Lived Experience Leadership Programme, which the first cohort are going through the programme that we pulled together with Holt Ashbridge College. And that has gone down very well over the first sort of 6 or 8 weeks. So bus travel this week was one of the ones that we're both in talking to the minister about on Tuesday.
It's nice to squeeze in quite a lot today, Matt.
Well, busy week. I think there's a lot going on in politically, because I think government made promises on various things happening. Summer recess coming up. You know, these things need to be out publicly before we get to the summer. I think the autumn will feel very different. And so I'm not surprised it's coming sort of thick and fast at the moment. So we're having to be sort of nimble and agile in our responses and our input, which we are being. But yeah, life isn't quiet at the moment.
Now, as Matt said earlier, we'd love you to get involved around the welfare changes as well. Please get in touch with your MP, and RNIB can help with that. There's loads of information on the campaign's pages of the website. There's also details of the transport, including the bus report for you as well. Do have a look at rnib.org.uk for all the details. You can call the helpline on 0303 123 9999, and if you have an Amazon Echo device, just ask Lady A to call RNIB's helpline. We have squeezed in a lot this week, Matt. No doubt more to come next week, but thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, thank you. And as you know, as you just hinted at, we're expecting accessible information standard to come soon, as well as the NHS 10-year plan to be published, and clearly the welfare vote in a couple of weeks' time. So there'll be a lot of activity in these spaces over the next month, I'm sure. So plenty to talk about next week as well.